Again, we are blessed by the God of heaven to have the privilege to come together tonight and study the word of the living God. Your coming tonight certainly indicate that you are interested in the revival meeting and also in the welfare of those who are lost in sin. I want to thank all of the preachers and leaders that have invited me here. I'm going to ask them to stand again tonight because I want them to know, Brother Liggett and others, that we appreciate your invitation. And I thank God for all of these preachers. And if there are other elders and deacons, would you stand? I appreciate you working with this group of brothers as we work for the common cause of edifying the body of Christ. Thank you so much. Somebody need to be saved tonight. I look over this audience, I don't see a whole lot of young people, but my lesson is dedicated to the youth. Would you turn to John chapter 3 and 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15. And the lesson tonight is entitled, Youth Need to be Dedicated to Jesus Christ. I want to see, however, how many Bibles we have on this left side. I'm concerned about this left side. All right. Oh, they're getting better. All right. Let me see the right side. Very good. Good to see you, Sister Sarah, one of my former members. Did you have your Bible tonight, Sarah? All right. Would you stand with me and sing my song, I'm So Glad Who Lifted Me? Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm singing glory. Well, Jesus lifted me, oh, when I was burdened, yeah. Jesus lifted me, oh, when I was burdened, yes, Jesus lifted me, oh, when I was burdened, yes, Jesus lifted me, I'm singing glory,
hallelujah.
Well, I was in trouble. Oh, when I was in trouble, yeah, Jesus
lifted me.
Oh, when I
was in trouble,
yes, Jesus lifted me. Oh, when I was in trouble, yes, Jesus lifted me. I'm singing glory. Satan had me bound. Satan had me bound, but Jesus lifted me. Satan
had
me bound. Yes, Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus lifted me. I'm singing
glory,
and now I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven because Jesus lifted me. Because Jesus. I'm on my way to heaven because Jesus lifted me. I'm singing glory. Well,
Jesus
lifted me. If God has done something for your life and bless your life, lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. All right, kindly be seated. Amen. John 3, 5. Except a man is born of what? And he cannot, what? Kingdom of heaven. Let's go to 1 Peter 3, 15. 1 Peter 3:15. But Are you there? As in the New Testament now. Sanctify who? Where? And be what? How often? To do what? To give an answer to whom? To every man that, come on, asks you a reason of the what? That is within you. How? With meekness and with fear. We recognize the fact that youth are a part of the kingdom of God. I was happy to see these young children sing tonight. We must begin with our children. If you want to fill this house, go out in the highways and hedges and get you some children. The disciples, on one occasion, they did not want the children to bother the Lord. But the Lord said, what? Suffer. Come on, you all know the Bible. Little children to what? Come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. I want to say that any church that does not emphasize the importance of the children ministry is going to disintegrate. Because the future of our church depends upon our youth. There are some old folk that will not allow some youth to participate in the services of the church. They said, you're the church of tomorrow. Well, they are really the church of today. I'm standing here before you because I was allowed as a youth to participate in the services of the Lord's church when I was just 6 and 7 years old. 11 years old, I obeyed the gospel. 14, I was ordained by Brother H.H. Gray, G.E. Stewart, and J.S. Winston, and R.N. Hogan. Age 17, I was a minister at the Figaro Church of Christ with Brother Hogan. And then at 18, he sent me out to establish a congregation that we baptized a Baptist preacher, and they asked me to organize that church. I couldn't even cash my check. I was not 21. But the brother didn't give me but $10. But anyway, I couldn't cash my check. But they had confidence in me as a youth. And I want to challenge the youth that are here tonight to be dedicated, sanctified to the church of my Lord. I admire the Kirkendall brothers because they started early serving the Lord. Their father put them in the work of the church, in the work of the Lord. And where I preach, we are training our young people. My daughter Valerie is a school teacher, and others, they are training our young people how to worship God and how to give Him honor and how to give Him praise. And our youth are knocking on doors. Our youth are part of the entire congregation in our work of faith and labor of love. Don't you leave the youth out of the ministry of the Lord's church. Our church is getting older. Most of the folk here tonight are up in age. We have some in their 90s that are here tonight. We have to prepare for the future. And elders and deacons, as you plan, don't you forget to include the youth in your planning. Let them be a part of the ministries that go on among the youth. Tonight, I want to emphasize that in order for the senior members of the church to use youth, they must be dedicated to Jesus Christ. And thank God we have youth groups and we have youth ministries where I serve. We are planning now to prepare for for a youth meeting just conducted by the youth. All of the old folk will sit down and let the youth conduct the services. But they must be dedicated. Peter said, first, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. What we need among youth as well as old folk, we need more sanctified, not cranktified. We got a lot of cranks in the church that complain about this, that, and the other. But the word sanctify just simply means you are dedicated. We need some sanctified preachers in the pulpit. Mm-hmm. We need some sanctified elders in the Lord's church. We need some sanctified deacons in the Lord's church and sanctified members. And then you can lay aside some sanctified money. Am I right about it? So that you can give to the cause of Jesus Christ. And I was preaching in Houston, Texas in a citywide meeting some time ago. And the elder said, Brother Backus, you preach like a sanctified preacher. I said, I am a sanctified preacher. He said, no, I don't mean that. You preach like a holiness preacher. I said, I am a holiness preacher. Because without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And the word sanctified just simply means you have been set apart. We need some sanctified song leaders so that our services will be lifted up in the spirit. And sanctified members that are dedicated to the cause of Christ. The reason we came from 9 members to over 1,600 members is because we had some sanctified saints. As a youth, I had sanctified men around me that would help me. And young people listen to the older people. They have some wisdom. John said, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. Don't isolate yourself from the fathers and the elders of the church. He said, I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. It's good to talk to people who have walked with the Lord a long time. They can tell you. Can y'all say amen? Are there any sanctified folk out there? Let me see your hand. All right, then I'm going to listen for you to say amen. Or bow your heads, or grunt, or do something that will let me know that you are here tonight. It's kind of dark in the back, so I don't know if you're really there unless you wave your hand or say amen. But he says, I've written unto your fathers because you have known him from the beginning. But I have written unto you young men because you are strong and the word of God abided in you. Don't put down all of the young folk. Not all of the young folk are smoking pot and committing adultery. There are some young folk that love the Lord. We have some young people, those young ladies that came down and sung praises to God. Most of them are single. They're in college, working on their degrees. They are dedicated to the Lord. And many of our young men, they know the word of God. We are just one generation from apostasy, of falling away from the faith. If we don't teach our young people the doctrine, they will bring anything in the church and say anything and do anything. So it's our responsibility to teach them to have the word of God abiding in them. Valerie, I know I'm off of my subject, the outline. Bless her heart. She got it there. But I'm one of these preachers. I let the Holy Spirit lead me, guide me to say what I need to say. But on the other hand, young men need to abide in the word of God. And they need to be sanctified. Well, John records the words of Jesus. There was a man by the name of Nicodemus, and he came to Jesus by what? And he said, now Jesus, we know that You are a teacher that have what? Come from God. For no man can what? Do these miracles except God be with him. And Jesus didn't take the flattery. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Except a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born again when he is old? How he can enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born? But Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man is born of what? Water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He was a member of the ruling class, a senate, or a member of the Sanhedrin, a ruling body of the Jews. He was a master of Israel, a leading teacher having authority. He was wealthy, yes, and later spent money on Jesus in burying him in John 19 and 19. He became a spokesman for the religious group. And we know that he was a teacher, but he came to another teacher. And this teacher told the teacher, you got to be born again. That was an emptiness that Jesus saw in Nicodemus, searching heart. He wanted something, and Jesus can look and see that you need something. And young people today, God knows you need Jesus. I know you need your education. We are preparing to educate several of our young people around the country with our programs that we have, with our 501c program. And my son and my daughters raised several thousand dollars in order to get our young people to see the necessity of getting a good education. Because if we get our young people educated and they come back to the church, they can be a blessing. And one of the young men that got the scholarship said, when I come back and after 4 years, I want to be an elder. I want to be a deacon in the church. We got too many elders and deacons that are not prepared for the future generation. They may know the Bible, but there's more too in leading the church in the 21st century. And if you don't have the knowledge, you've got to have the ability to draw out of your congregation those young people that have been educated with technology to help the church. Where I preach, we have two large screens. I used to use a blackboard, but that's out of date. I used to use charts. That's out of date. But now, I'm into it now. We have two big screens on each side. And one side we have the scripture. The other side they have my message. And I can run from one side to the other and meet the technical part. And then they have me a teleprompter when I'm on television. I don't have to have my notes. I just look like the president does. Just talk, you know. Technology. And I used to know all of the members of the church, but when you have over 800 families in the church, you can't remember all of the members. But, oh, I got technology now. All I have to do is to go to the computer and say, boom, 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 boom. And up jump the A's. Up jump the B's. And then I say, can't remember who that is. And so here's another, boom. It shows me the picture. It gives me all of their information. Technology. I used to have different zones where we would call the member in zone 37, zone 47. But that's out of date now. All I have to do on Saturday evening to call over 800 members in about 10 hours is to go to, what do you call that, Valley? One call now. That's the reason I got to hear. One call now, and I give the message, and one call, boom, boom, calls 800 families in 10 hours. And they're listening to my voice. I said, this is Brother Backus from the Southside Church. I said, yes, Brother Backus, what do you want? My lesson will be such and such a thing on a certain such an hour. And I'm looking for that. Now, if I want them to respond, all I have to do is to say, touch one, boom, I will be there. Touch two, I will not be there. That's technology. What we have to do is to educate our congregation to the modern way of serving the Lord and serving the people. And you have to have elders and deacons and preachers that will come up to date with what's going on now. Can I get an amen? Am I holding y'all too long? Well, let me tell you, you got to have some dedicated sisters in the church. Uh-huh. We have to train our girls how to dress and how to live and conduct themselves, and our boys and our girls, so that they can qualify to become leaders of the church. You see, everybody's not going to be an elder or a deacon, but they can lead in different ministries. And so when we decide that we're going to build a $20 million home for the elderly, I don't know everything about that, but I call our young people and our people who know something about that. And I don't have to go downtown and call the councilman. I don't have to go and ask for the supervisor. They call me. They come to my office because I have enough power to persuade the votes to go different ways. And the church called me the other day. He said, I'm being re-elected, Backus. I want to come by because I want to be a judge on this particular bench. When the church has influence, we need to use our influence. In Acts 2:47, the Bible said they had favor with the people. That simply means they had influence. I wonder if one congregation would move out of their location right now, would the people say, wonder where they are going? What ministry have you carried on? What influence do you have? If you decided you're going to leave, and they said, don't leave. Who's going to feed us? Don't leave. What about our ministry to the Latina community? Don't leave because you have a program that's outlined to help our community. I want to ask you, how can we get these things done? You got to use those that have the ability in your local congregation to carry out that ministry. And so we must have dedicated, consecrated young people. And we have to have young people that have been born again. Oh, I wish I had time to give you more about the programs that we have, over 50-odd different ministries carrying on the work of the Lord in Los Angeles area. But I want to give you my outline that you must be first dedicated. All of the good young people are not in the Church of Christ, but they should be. And our ministry is bringing those inmates out of jail, those young people that have lost their way, and we are teaching them there is a better way to live than to lie and to steal. And some of us, we don't want other young folk and other people in our church said, oh no, we don't want anybody that used to do that. But where I preach, we have ex-homongers. We have ex-alcoholics. And we have ex-prostitutes. We don't tell who the ex-prostitutes are because some of our brothers may call them the backslide. But on the other hand, we have X this. And you got to realize that all of us at one time did something. If I would take a poll there tonight, all of you didn't sing, oh, how I love Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus all your life. Some of y'all used to be the worst folk in town. You used to drink everything they would give you, even shoe polish if it had a little alcohol in it. And some of you used to go out to the club and you would do this and that and the other and kick out your boots and let down your hair. And now you're sitting there and says, we don't want those kind of people here. All of us were ex-something. And you say, oh, no, not me. Well, if you're saying you would never did nothing wrong, you are a liar. folks, all of us, God brought us out of darkness. Come on. Into the marvelous light of God's dear Son. And we got to start early training our young people. Get for me Proverbs 11 and 9. I got to hurry on because my time is up. We need dedicated young people to come out of the world and start early serving the Lord. I don't regret one moment. Some of my brethren tell me, said, Carl, you didn't have a lot of fun like we did. But I'm thankful that I started early serving the Lord. And David said, in Psalm 71, he says, oh Lord, you have taught me from my youth, and hitherto I declare thy wonderful works. It's good to know the Lord early in life. Some old folks says, now you got to sow your wild oaks now, because I did. Well, they won't tell the young people. You see them walking in like that. They're reaping what they sow. They can't hardly make it around. They didn't tell them, when, if you sow to the flesh, come on, you're going to reap to the flesh also. But you don't have to sow your wild oaks. You can be dedicated to the Lord early in life. But while you are out there smoking your pot and putting a needle in your vein. This is what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 11 and verse number 9, I believe it is. What does it say? Yes. When should we begin? Ecclesiastes 11 and 9. Rejoice! Oh, it's wonderful when you're young. Some of y'all act like y'all were never young. And there are some folks that, oh no, we shouldn't have any recreation in the church. But let me tell you, young folk need to use their energy. Paul said in 1 Timothy 5, bodily exercise profit little. It's little, but godliness profit more. We ought not have a baseball team. We ought not have a basketball team. We ought not go bowling. And there are some young folk are discouraged. Don't come to church because older members criticize everything they do. Well, the only reason you don't like to do anything is because you're too old to do it. Am I right about it? But don't put down the young people because they are young. Young rings about vitality. Youth. Yes. Rejoice when you're young. Because one day you're going to get old. That's some folks don't want to get old. But I'm looking at you. You're old. Rejoice, oh young man. In thy youth. Have a good time in your youth. And I tell you, you can have a good time in the Lord. First Thessalonians 5 says, rejoice evermore in the Lord. And that translation from the 20th century translation, it says, have a good time in the Lord. You can have a good time in the Lord. Our young people spend a lot of time singing and praising God, and they are having a good time in the Lord. Studying God's word, exercising themselves in the word, they have a good time. When they come to the worship service, they're not sitting up like some of y'all are sitting up tonight. Amen. Like you've been baptized in lemon juice. You've been eating sour persimmon. But young people, when they come to the Lord, they want to say hallelujah. Praise be to God. And then some old folk look around and say, now listen, honey, don't disturb my sleep. Don't disturb me while I'm worshiping. And there are some old folk in the church that will drive young folk out of the worship service because of their attitude. But they like to rejoice in the Lord. We're trying to find a preacher now, and it's hard for him. I'm preparing to move in another area of the ministry. And say, Bacchus, it's going to be hard to find a preacher that will rejoice in preaching and rejoice in singing God's praise. Sometime on Sunday morning, I sing about 4 or 5 songs before I start preaching, because we want to rejoice in the Lord. Again, he said in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice in the Lord. I know you got arthritis and you can't hardly move, but get some of my eucalyptus oil and maybe you can do something and praise God. But rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Read. Let your heart cheer you. In the days of your youth, have a good time.
And walk in the ways of thine heart.
And you go, some young people, you can't tell them nothing. They're walking in their own ways. They won't listen to the elders. They won't listen to the preacher. They won't listen to the deacon. They won't listen to the mothers and fathers. But he says, rejoice, O young man. And he said, walk in your own ways. Nobody can tell you nothing. Come on.
And in the sight of thine eyes.
And go ahead and do what you want to do.
But
while you are walking in your way,
I
won't listen to your parents, won't listen to your leaders. Don't come to church and praise God. He says, know thou this, that for these things, God is going to bring them into judgment. You say, oh, God, can you excuse me? I was young. Oh, no. God said you got to stand before him, and you got to be judged. Well, you said, I'm going to wait until I get old, and then I'm coming to serve the Lord. But let me tell you, who told you that you're going to live to be 70? There are young folk dying just like old folk are dying. Young folk are in the grave just like old folk are going to the grave. So he says in Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come. The evil days will come, arthritis, bursitis, heart trouble. Evil days are going to come before the years draw now, before you say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember God now. So I say to the youth, start early serving the Lord. And what we need to do is to plan our program so that the youth will be happy coming to the service. Happy to come to Bible study. They have somebody that can relate to them in Bible class. They don't have an old brother sitting now, read that verse. What does it say? Explain it now. Well, that's the reason they don't come, because you don't explain nothing to them. You got to use visual aids. And you got to use modern technology to teach the young people. While you're sitting up there talking to them about this, that, and the other, they're texting somebody in class. Am I right about it? Because it's so boring. Nothing exciting about studying the word. But you ought to have the spirit of a teacher that can put your lesson together so that you can hold the attention of your young people. And then he said, I want to tell you, Saul was a young man. And as a young man, the prophet told him, when God speak to you, you ought to say, speak, Lord, thy servant here. Command. He was a young man. And I will obey. Young people need to be dedicated like Samuel. You ought to be like David when he was 17 years old. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not walk. We say, well, you know, I don't go to prayer meeting. I'm young. Well, we have a young girl in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts by the name of Rhoda. She was in prayer meeting, and they prayed the preacher out of jail. Am I right about it? Young people should be in prayer meeting and in Bible study. Oh, Timothy, he said, Timothy, oh, from a youth, you have known the scriptures. From a young man, taught to you by your mother and your grandmother. We need more grandmothers and mothers who will teach their children the way of the Lord instead of teaching them how to trick some man. Kyle, this is the way you trick that man. This is how you get him to do what you want him to do. I tell you, teach them the way of the Lord. Am I right about it? And so young people serve the Lord in New Testament times. There's something you should know, however, youth. You can't go around here and leave this congregation and leave your congregation. You're going to college now. You're going to be faced with professors that don't believe in God. They are atheists. And they'll try to get you to turn your faith over. Overthrow your faith. So what you need to know is to know the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul said to Timothy, from a child thou hast known the scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. The other night I quoted several scriptures. When sister took down the scriptures, said, did you know you quoted 75 scriptures tonight? I didn't realize it. But I know the scriptures. And when these denominational preachers jump on me, they jump off me because I got the sword of the Spirit. And I can cut them up and down with the Word of God. You have to know the scriptures. And he says it's able to make you wise. You want to have a healthy congregation? Teach them the Word of God. It makes them wise. They'll love the preacher better, because in 1 Corinthians 9:14, the Bible tells us that those that preach the gospel should of the gospel live. They don't make faces when we say we got to support the preacher. Now you preachers ought to say, amen, I'm trying to help you all out all through here. When you have members that get upset with each other, there are elderly members in the church that can take the scripture and apply it to a situation. You don't have to worry the preacher with everything that comes up in the church. Because when you see that sister saying things and acting in a way that's not in keeping with the will of God, put her to the side and says, honey, this is what the Lord would have you to do. We need some mothers. We don't have mothers of the church, but we do have mothers in the church. And the Bible says that the older women ought to teach. Come on, the younger women. But there's some older women can't teach the younger women because the older women are trying to get the young women's husband. we need some seasoned sister of the church. You can tell that sister, now you came to church this morning. You're young, but the preacher's not going to preach. But your dress is just too high. It's a shame. Your dress is too high. And when you bend over, oh, Lord, things happen. Son, pull your pants up. You're a child of God. You don't have to conform to the world. The preacher don't have to preach on all of those things when they are taught at home and when they are taught in their Bible classes. I had some great mothers where I preached. And when we couldn't settle some things, all we would do is to open up the Word of God. We had some trouble, but I want to tell you, in our 55 years, we have never had a split. Never had a division. We've had some ups and downs, but we didn't have our little group running out and said, we can't worship with y'all no more. Goodbye. We stayed and worked it out. And young people, let me tell you, don't you cause division in the church. There are some young people that gossip too. It used to be you can telephone and tell a gram and tell a woman. But now they can text a message. And there are young people on the tube gossiping, talking to each other. Well, I told the young people, I don't know all about that technology. But I got some children that will tune me in and I can see and hear what they're talking about. And then I, as a preacher, as an elder in the church, the eldership can call them in. We don't fuss with them and take the pulpit and just whip them up and down and say, get out of here, do that, you know. We say, come on in, Johnny, come on in, Mary. This is what you said. I didn't say that. No, you did. Here it is. Boop. Oh, yes, I forgot. You're lying now. And so we educate our young people in the Word. But the best thing to do is to have other young people working on other young folk. Say, honey, you can't do that. We can't go there. Because the Scripture tells us that pure religion, that it is undefiled before God the Father, is this: the visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and keep yourself unspotted from the world. Young people can work on other young people. Am I holding y'all too long? Well, let me finish this up by giving you the outline. Young people need to know that Christ has the words of life. And when our young people are faced with these new religion in Los Angeles, transcendental meditation, Buddha, and Mohammedism, and all of the other ism, we tell our young people, don't you listen to that. Because you got to listen to Christ. And you can run off the Islamic people with the Word of God. You can run off the Buddhist people with the Word of God. Because you can tell them that Christ has the words of life. Nobody else. A young man over in Denver, Colorado, said he was a prophet of God. About 16 years old. He was a prophet of God. And young people were just flocking over there, saying he was a prophet of God. Well, one thing, our young people stated the Bible. They said, Brother Backus, what about him? I said, there's nothing to him because he doesn't have the words of eternal life. Nobody but Jesus. When the disciples left Jesus and walked off, Jesus said to the 12, will you also go? And sometime you can't get old folk to stay in the church and do right. Preach as hard as you can. Educate them. And still some folk will walk off from the church. Well, Jesus didn't say, come on back, come on back, come on. No, he let them go. And some young folk and some old folk, you got to let them go. Am I right about it? When they leave the church, in actuality, they are leaving Christ. And when you leave Christ, you leave the words of life. And then Jesus said, will you also go? Mm-hmm. He just had 12 disciples. And he said, one of you, among you 12, is a devil. So we can truly say, in every congregation, one out of 12 is a devil. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Somebody has a devil. And they will leave. Saying all you want to, but they'll leave. Some young folks switch off and say they'll leave. But he said to Peter, will you also leave? He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have something that nobody else have. You have the words of eternal life. I have more on that screen, but I got to conclude. Young people need to put their trust in Jesus because he has the words of life. Christ is the only Savior, not Buddha, not any other prophet that comes along. But as I close, young people, you must give an account for your sins. You slip and slide around here and think you're fooling the old folk. Coming in and late at night. And you think you're fooling the old folk when you're out late at night doing things you shouldn't do. But you got to be aware of the fact that they did those same things when they were your age. Am I right about it? They know what's going on. Honey, they're not that naive. Grandma don't know. Grandma don't know. Grandma knows a whole lot of things. She told them a story. They had just one latch on the door. She said, leave the latch open for Mama, because she's coming in around 11 o'clock. Leave the latch open because Dad coming in around 12. But leave the latch open because Grandma will get in around 2:30. They know a lot of things. Am I right about it? But you got to realize what you do in the dark will come to the light. Am I right about it? And so he says in Ezekiel 18 and 20, the soul that sinned, it shall die. Romans 14 and 11 says, one day every knee will bow. That's young folk too. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And we must give an account of the things that we have done in our body, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Young folks, you should know that you got to stand before God. You said, I ain't going. But the Bible said we must all appear. You see, sometime when you get a summon from the sheriff and summon from the court, you said, I'm not going to appear. You duck and dive and run up to Los Angeles. They have to find you. But when God calls you, everybody, whether you want to or not, must appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the deeds that they have done in their body, whether it be good or whether it be evil. As I move on, you should know that the church of Christ is right and it cannot be wrong. Don't entertain these false teachers. And you said, I heard about this new church or that new church. Stay with the church you can read about in the Bible. Long time ago, the church of Christ was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. Long ago, Isaiah said, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mounting of the Lord's house would be established in the top of the mountain, exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Jesus said, upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. No other church can make that claim but the church of Jesus Christ. He bought the church of Christ with his own precious blood. Acts 20 and 28. Christ is the head of the church of Christ. Colossians 1:18. Christ is the foundation. 1 Corinthians 3 and 11. Christ is the Savior. Ephesians 5 and 23. Christ is the door. John 10 and 9. He says, I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So he tells the young and the old, come to him today. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul. I hear the Hebrew writer talking in Hebrews 4 and 7. He said, today you hear his voice while you're young. Today you hear his voice. Harden not your heart. I hear Paul talking in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2. He says, now, oh, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. I'm so glad that I started walking with Christ early in life. I heard the gospel of the Son of God. I believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. I repented of my sin. I confessed him to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. I went way down in the liquid tune of baptism for the remission of my sins. I was redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Ephesians 1 and 7, I was reconciled to God. Ephesians 2, 16, I began to walk with the Lord. Romans 6 and 4, I became a child of God. And I can tell you, I'm happy walking with the Lord. And young people, you need the Lord. You don't need any Johnny Walker Red. You just need a walk with the Redeemer. You don't need any Yukon Jack. All you need is to be yoked up with Jesus. You don't need any rum. You need to run the Christian race. You don't need any bourbon. You just need some blessings. You don't need Jack Daniels just to be delivered from sin. You don't need but wiser. You need to be wiser in Christ. You don't need a screwdriver. You need to be sanctified and delivered. You don't need a Bloody Mary. You need the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't need any crack. You need Christ. And you can say, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And when you're born again, you can start singing the song, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. My sins, which were many, they are all washed away. I'm saved. Stand on your feet. I'm saved. Stand on your feet. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. I'm covered by the blood. And so I can walk in the light as he is in the light, that I might have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ just cleansed me from all of my sin. I might make some mistake, but I repent and the blood covers me again. I may do wrong. I may have a baby out of wedlock. I may get on crack, but I can come back and the blood will cover me. I'm so glad I'm covered. Whoo, I'm getting happy with the blood of Jesus. Come on, song leader, and sing like you've been washed in the blood and hide yourself in the blood. Whoo, of Jesus Christ. Old folk too need to be covered, saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ.